Tonight's gospel is found in the 13th chapter of John, beginning with verse 1. It was just before the Passover festival that Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." No, said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that is why he said, "Not every one of you was clean." When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. But now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I've set you an example that you should do as I've done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." And then verse 33, "My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." The gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Please have a seat. Well, grace to you and peace on this wonderful night from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and from God our Father. Question I have for you, and it's kind of a silly question because we don't know the timing of our own death, but if you had only 24 hours to live, what would you do? What would you do in the last 24 hours that you had to live? Now, I know that question is quite contrived because, well, none of us know, right? But it is a revealing question if you think about it, because the things you'd want to do in the last 24 hours of your life are probably the things that are most important to you, would you not say? I would ask this question of my confirmation students as they were preparing to their faith statement because they were going to write about what they believed and a little bit about who they are. And that question was a good one because I asked them, if you only had 24 hours to live, what would you do? What three things? And they would answer things like, I would spend time with the people I loved. Some of them would go on great adventures. There was one student that I think he skydove, went and climbed Mount Everest, and, you know, scuba dived in the Mediterranean. That's a lot to do on one day. But still, you want to do things you would enjoy. But all of them, every single one of them, wanted to tell the people that meant the most to them what they felt about them and spend those last hours with the people they loved. So we turn to this special night, this night when Jesus has this very last moment with his disciples. And he gives them a new commandment. He knew that he had less than 24 hours to live. And so he did exactly what he wanted to do. And I think as we read the account of Jesus at the upper room, it's important to realize that he is sharing with them in John 13, and it continues all the way to John 17, the most important things that he wanted to teach his disciples. He wanted to share with them, most of all, his love. He said in Luke 22, these words, "I have eagerly desired to eat the Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." And what you heard me read from John 13 is this: Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, now he loved them to the end. John 13 accounts this, the preview of the Last Supper. None of the other Gospels include this section. And he wants to tell his disciples what is most important to them. He wants to use this precious time to invest in the relationships that he spent the most time developing in his life. And he wanted to show them the goal, love. He wanted to love them to the end. When he says to the end, it's really loving them to the finish line, loving them to the very end of his life and showing them what was most important. So surprisingly, there's a foot washing involved. Now, foot washing is the task of a servant. And typically, as you know, that would have happened when they entered the room, because you want your feet clean. But nobody did that at the beginning of this meal. And so Jesus got up from the meal and washed their feet right in the middle of the meal. It says the evening meal is being served. And as you heard read, he goes along and washes the feet of all the disciples. And it seems like the last person he gets to is Peter. And Peter says, "No, Lord, you will never wash my feet." And Jesus says, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." What is he saying? Unless I wash you, you have no part with me. What does that sound like to you? To me, it sounds like Jesus is saying, unless I serve you, you have no place with me. You know, so much of the time as followers of Christ, I think we're thinking about what we can do for others, right? Because those are the commands of Christ. He says to love, he says to serve, he says to go. Tonight's message is much different, because it isn't a message so much of going out and changing the world. It's a message of receiving love from our Lord. It feels good to serve. It's awesome to serve others. It makes us feel happy. And it's so encouraging to see if we can help another person, to encourage them. But the last thing that Jesus teaches his disciples is either let me serve you or why bother? Don't just go out and try to serve in my name if you're not feeling, first of all, that I love you. And Peter's protest is probably ours as well. You know, don't fuss over me. There's a lot of other people in the world that need you more. Don't worry about me. And sometimes we even respond with kind of self-sufficiency, like, you know, I'm good, Lord. I got this. I don't need you to serve me. I can do it myself. I'd rather just get to work and help the world. But what he's calling us to do tonight is respond to his goodness that he longs to give us. Because no matter, you matter to him. You hear that? You matter to him more than what you do. You matter to him for who you are, not for what you do. Jesus gives us a love imperative. Imperative is a command, isn't it? It's something you must do. He says, "A new command I give you, love one another as I've loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples, if you love one another." So love isn't a one-way affair, is it? We love others to show that we love Jesus is not exactly right, because it starts with this: Jesus loves us so that we have love to show others. It's really the simple truth that you learn every time you take an airline trip, isn't it? In the speech before you take off, they have these bags and they say, if these little airbags ever fall out of the ceiling while we're in flight, please put on the mask on yourself first before helping someone else. In essence, that's what Jesus is saying. Let me serve you first before you go out and change the world. He calls us to serve us, but first he calls us his beloved. It's been a wonderful Lenten journey, and part of that for me has been the classes that Tom Ashbrook has taught us on prayer. And many of you here have taken part in those. And one thing we were learning in those classes, it's called the Ignatian form of prayer, which is reading the scriptures a few times and then allowing your imagination to place yourself into that scene and being right there with what's going on in the scriptures. And I would like you to allow me to do that with you tonight, because this particular passage lends itself so well to placing yourself in the room with Jesus and the disciples. So would you let me do that with you? I'd like you to just gently close your eyes and try to just first of all take three or more deep breaths, just to kind of be in this place. Set your feet firmly on the ground. Lean back in your chair and just take some nice deep breaths. As you breathe, invite the Holy Spirit into your life, because he is breath. He is with us. He is teaching us. He is loving us. And as you sense your feet, you can even imagine that you've taken your shoes off. If you want to, you could take your shoes off. But imagine your feet are bare, and you are now transported into a room very far away. A room that is called an upper room. There's stone walls, maybe a few windows, but it's dark outside, so you can't see the light coming in. There's candles burning, and you're sitting at a table. You're sitting there with the other disciples, all the named disciples that you know of, Peter and James and John and Andrew and Bartholomew and Judas and the others. And Jesus is there too. And you are at this place and you watch this scene unfold. It was just before the Passover, and Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave the world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray Jesus. But Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. Imagine Jesus doing that. Him taking a basin of water, a pitcher, and pouring water in the pitcher. And after that, he poured water into the basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. In your imagination now, just picture Jesus going around the room to each of the disciples and washing their feet. He comes to Simon Peter, who stands and says, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean. Peter sits down and Jesus washes his feet. Listen for the water splashing into the basin. Watch Jesus wipe his feet with the towel. And then Jesus comes to you. You are seated. Jesus is kneeling at your feet. He looks up at you. What do you see in his eyes? He begins to wash your feet and dry them with the towel. Just feel the water on your feet. Feel his hands touch your feet. Feel him drying your feet with the towel. And now he looks to you again. Your eyes meet. His eyes of love. Speak to you. Is he saying anything else to you? He gets up from kneeling at your feet and goes back to his place at the table. He washes all their feet and puts on his clothes again and returns to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, I have set you an example, and you should wash one another's feet. You should do as I have done. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sends him. Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. A new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so now you must love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples. As Jesus has spoken these words, now I'd ask you in your imagination to come back here to this room and just gently open your eyes. Jesus' love imperative is first, he loves us so that we can love others. It's not us just giving, giving, giving. It's him giving to us first so that we can and do give to others. Let me close this in prayer. Jesus, thank you that you first of all want to know us and you want to serve us. Before you expect anything of us, that of anything that you want us to do, you give yourself to us. In fact, you long more than anything to be in a relationship with us. Tonight, as we are here worshiping and soon to receive the sacrament that you gave to us, give us faith to believe. Help us to not get ahead of you, but help our service to be motivated by love and care. Help us to know that we do need to be with you, spend time with you, allow you to even serve us, so then we can show your love to the world. And may the rest of our lives, as we know this fact, be a service that is a pouring out of love, yours for us and ours for each other. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.